I'm Tony Hendro.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
And now, a message from the Republican National Committee.
I am black.
I am gay.
And I am Latino.
We're the new Republicans.
Hey, my black friend. You are African American all the time. Tell the people why you are Republican, why don't you?
Glad to, my same-sex friend. I am a smaller government guy, who is also a black guy.
And I am a part of a growing group of Spanish-type people.
We're the new Republicans!
As a Latino man, I'm not going to deport myself.
I no longer wish to deport you, only to discriminate against you in more socially acceptable ways.
As do I, my fellow minorities. I am gay, but I feel gay marriage should be between a man and a woman.
We're the new Republicans!
I think evolution might be true.
I think facts might be true.
Global warming is still not true.
We're the new Republicans!
As a black man, I no longer believe in not helping black people.
I am gay. I am here. Get used to it.
I speako Spanish.
Now America has a real choice.
It's like the choice between Oreos and Hydrox.
Vegas and Atlantic City.
Type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes.
We're the new Republicans!
Are we off?
Oh, that was pretty good.
I'm going to be the gay guy next time.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Jesus gives first interview in 2,000 years, claims the last one was taken totally out of context.
Eastern European states, catatonia, bulimia, and dyslexia, admitted to EU.
Hugh Laurie back in language school, learning to speak with English accent.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
More trouble this week at the New York Times, as the gray lady of 8th Avenue looking down at the hideous Port Authority bus terminal is trying to buy out or lay off 100 more journalists, chiefly from its newsroom. With ad revenues tanking and tastefully expressed labor unrest on the rise, management is desperate to cut costs and find new sources of revenue. Pepper Lewis has the story.
Arthur Sulzberger Jr., or Pinch, as his remaining friends call him, erected a paywall around the online edition of the New York Times last year, charging regular visitors a user fee. Pinch says this was so successful that he's now going to raise further revenue by erecting a paywall around himself. Mr. Sulzberger.
Did you pay yet?
Yeah.
Day rate or hourly?
Daily. I didn't know there was an hourly rate. Can I switch?
Nope. Too late.
So, Pinch.
That's Arthur Oakes Sulzberger Jr.
Arthur Oakes Sulzberger Jr. Why do they call you Pinch?
The previous publisher, my father, Arthur Oakes Sulzberger, was called Punch.
Was that derived from boxing or the traditional English comic puppet?
Neither. The alcoholic libation. Is this going anywhere?
Trying to put you at your ease. You seem nervous.
I'm a very busy and dynamic person, as you can tell from my penetrating gaze and boundless energy.
Penetrating gaze and boundless energy. Why did you erect this paywall around yourself?
Since the online edition launched, I haven't charged for access to my irreplaceable services and incomparable experience. This has led to a steep downward trending curve in my personal quarterly revenues. Not anymore.
But surely you take a considerable salary from the paper.
That's my hereditary right, as it was my father's and his father's before him. Paywall money I earn.
From now on, it will cost all New York Times and Times Company executives, employees, creditors, legal and financial advisors, and support personnel $499.95 a month, $99.99 a week, or $29.99 a day to contact you by any means, personal, analog, or digital. Major credit cards and PayPal accepted. What about family members?
You get a discount on a sliding scale depending on their last name.
I'm guessing Sulzberger gets the biggest discount.
At the New York Times, we don't guess. We conjecture.
I'm conjecturing that if you're a Salzburger, you get a fat discount.
Astronomical and humongous.
How do you respond to Times employees who conjecture that even if the paper is losing money, you're sitting on a Scrooge McDuck-like pile of cash, which they conjecture you're protecting for your own and your family's use should the worst happen?
Who's Scrooge McDuck?
Or those who conjecture that the paper's real troubles arise from your disastrous mismanagement, like buying the Boston Globe for $1 billion and building an incredibly costly headquarters in a scuzzy part of town.
The Times headquarters is an ineffable and towering composition of glass and steel, clad in a veil of ceramic rods, designed by Italian architect Renzo Piano.
Is this paywall to insulate yourself from angry employees tired of you squandering billions while penny-pinching the newspaper, which is why they call you Pinch?
And according to Times architectural critic Nikolai Urasov, rooted in a more comforting time, the era of corporate modernism that reached its apogee in the 1950s and 60s.
Pinch, would you say you're out of touch with the realities of modern news gathering?
I have a plan B.
Which is what?
Close the paper and torch the building for the insurance.
Didn't they used to call that Jewish lightning?
We're Presbyterians. Time's up.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Captain's log, stardate 5730.2. Our transporter beam has accidentally picked up two aliens locked in a death struggle.
We cannot break up the fight, Captain. One of them is glowing and may be radioactive.
I'm not radioactive. I'm House Speaker John Boehner.
And I'm President Barack Obama. And I approve this message.
Captain, it appears these two came from inside the Beltway. It is a strange place with customs we do not comprehend.
Why are you two fighting? Is it because one of you is orange and the other is kind of sort of black, but not really?
No. It's the budget. I think we should raise tax revenue $1.6 trillion by closing loopholes and raising the marginal rate on high earners by a couple of percentage points while exempting Medicare and Social Security from the cuts.
Okay.
Whereas I think we should raise $800 billion from taxes by closing some loopholes somewhere, then cut some stuff or other.
That sounds like more or less the same plan.
Except the orange one sounds kind of vague. But they could probably compromise.
No. If tax cuts are scaled back, it hits the signature accomplishment of Republicans for the last 12 years. If Medicare gets reduced, it cuts down the Democrats' signature accomplishment.
And the rest of us should care because...
What happens if you don't lower spending anyway? How much interest do you pay on loans?
Right now, the yield on a U.S. bond in real dollars is about negative 0.14%.
Negative? You make money if you borrow?
After inflation, yes.
And you don't want to do it?
Captain, it appears they are dematerializing again.
Like they were ever material to begin with.
They're gone, Captain. Back to their strange home planet.
Perhaps we will never understand their strange customs and their incomprehensible wars. It is all so alien to us. And yet, we pay their salaries.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Florida endorses Alzheimer maneuver, designed to save seniors who've forgotten what they're choking on.
Soldier pretends to be killed in action, surprises son at funeral.
High school teacher honored for having sex with high school teacher.
Welcome once again to the Final Edition Radio Hour's Parallel Universe Theater. Tonight, Happiness is a Warm Gun, narrated by Walter Cronkite.
The date, December 8th, 2012. The place, West 72nd Street, outside the legendary Dakota in New York's Tony Upper West Side. The time, early evening. It's cold, and people are hurrying home from work, anxious to be inside and warm. The Dakota's doorman, Ernie, huddles over the space heater in his little gatehouse, hoping the residents won't be needing too many cabs tonight.
What the fuck?
Fuck this fucking gate!
It's John Lennon. Long recovered from the minor flesh wound inflicted by deranged fan Mark David Chapman, coming down from the vast apartment in the Dakota he's lived in for more than 40 years. Lennon is stooped, obese, balding, the few remaining strands of his once iconic hair pulled back in a stringy, greasy ponytail.
Ernie! Ernie!
Yes, Mr. Lennon?
You got a gun?
No, Mr. Lennon.
Fuck! Hey, you! Got a gun?
No, I do not have a gun. Get away from me.
Everyone in New York's got a gun, don't they? Come on! You gotta have a gun!
Let go of me! Crazy person!
Hasn't anyone got a gun? Where's fucking Chapman when you need him?
Hey, pal. I got a carry permit. Ruger 30-odd. You in danger? You need assist? Hey, aren't you John Lennon?
And the short, fat, balding rock legend sinks to his knees, arms outstretched.
Shoot me, man. For Christ's fucking sake. I can't take it anymore. 40 years of that fucking anime schoolgirl voice. Those fucking stupid fucking shades. She sleeps in those fuckers. Now she's doing fucking fashion for men. At 80 fucking years old. Look at these pants she makes me wear.
Ooh, is that a big cartoon hand on the crotch? At your age? Gross!
So kill me! Shoot me dead! Right here in the ear! I'm begging you!
Sorry, John, no can do. You're my favorite Beatle!
Oh, God, no, no! Come back! No! No.
Come on, Mr. Lennon, sir. Back upstairs where we belong, okay? No more Mama. Scenes where Mrs. Ono will be on my tail, okay? There we go. Jesus! Every fucking year!
This has been another episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour's Parallel Universe Theater. Next week, Hitchens in Heaven, the first year of celebrated British atheist Christopher Hitchens' afterlife.
I know nobody can do me no harm because it's a warm gun.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Decommissioned auto plant robot shoots three computers.
Poison Control Center considers ditching Skull and Crossbones for Face of Karl Rove.
Study finds porn stars happier than porn stunt doubles.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Despite their stunning defeat a month ago, Republicans are continuing their ludicrous defense of pornographically wealthy people who've never created a job other than hedge fund analyst or assistant pool boy. They're still treating Obama as a bumbling con man with no more right to negotiate the country's future than a Southside numbers runner. But behind the familiar scenes of knee-jerk stupidity, rabid racism, and bald-faced obstructionism, despair and confusion have broken out. Our Stone Peck has the story.
At a top-secret gathering here in a huge man-made cave deep in the Rocky Mountains, Republican Party leaders are finally coming to grips with the inescapable fact that most of their so-called beliefs are cruel, crude, hopelessly outdated, pseudo-intellectual drivel that'll make them unelectable for generations. House Speaker Boehner.
Friends, it's as if I've awoken from some all-encompassing mental fog. Of course climate change is real. Look at the drought. Look at Sandy. Small government can't handle that. We need big government. You pay for it by raising taxes on the obscenely wealthy. Most of the country wants same-sex marriage, abortion, legal marijuana. What was I thinking for the last 4 years? I'd shoot myself, except we've got to have meaningful gun control.
Even far right-wing hate monger Ann Coulter looked shaken.
It's not that Romney was a weak candidate. It's that everything he said was a gigantic wishy-washy pile of steaming crap.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the majority of voters noticed this. Despite my efforts and those of other conservative commentators to obfuscate the obvious. I want to apologize to all of the liberals I've slandered and vilified over the course of my long and mendacious career. I've been loathsome and unfunny for too long.
On display tonight in the lobby of the main hall is the mangled body of Fox News Channel pundit Bill O'Reilly, which was found at the base of Mount Rushmore yesterday. Senator Mitch McConnell read aloud the note pinned to his clothing.
It's all over. The lies, the stupidity, the cheap shots of Colbert. What a colossal asshole I've been. I can't live with the shame, the ignominious shame of being Bill O'Reilly.
After apologizing profusely for endorsing Rick Santorum not once, but twice, New York Times columnist David Brooks gave the faithful a preview of his column for tomorrow.
Though we are now completely irrelevant and some would say useless, conservatives can still perform a valuable service to the nation by organizing penitential processions of millions who wander the countryside barefoot, scourging our naked flesh until the blood flows freely into the soil of the nation whose great traditions of democracy and freedom we have abused and weakened for our own narrow purposes. Let our blood give new meaning to the term red states. America, we are sorry for wasting your time.
Wait, something's happening up on the big screen. It looks like someone's Skyping into the conference with another message of repentance and regret. Whoa! It's Clint Eastwood and Ted Nugent!
Hey, you yellow belly tree-hugging terrace-coddling turkeys! We're holed up here in the High Sierras. We're standing our ground!
Listen, pussies. Number one rule of being American. Never explain, never apologize.
Right on, homie! And thank you, Koch brothers, for the guns!
You say we don't need no heroes. Well, you're looking at them.
Remember the Alamo!
Remember the Pueblo.
Long live George Zimmerman!
In 1971, John Lennon was interviewed by Rolling Stone while going through primal scream therapy. The interviews were indeed primal screams. Lennon vented for hours about all the things he felt he hated in life. Paul, George, Mick Jagger, his own family. National Lampoon happened to be doing its first album at the time. It was called Radio Dinner. They picked the choicest bits from the interviews, arranged them into a song, and this was the result. Magical Misery Tour.
For your fuckers, tell me what do you know? A lot of faggot middle-class kids wearing long hair and trendy clothes. Look, I'm not your fucking parents and I'm sick of upside hippies coming knocking at me door with a fucking peace symbol. Get this back fast. I don't owe your fuckers anything and all I got to say is fuck you. The sky is blue. I think that makes a joke with all his stupid faggot dancing. I always did. Wiggling his ass, you know, it's just a lot of bullshit. And where does he come off saying all those tawdry things about the Beatles? When every fucking thing we ever did, we tried to copy. And you know, we even wrote his second fucking record for him. No, the Stones aren't in the same fucking class as the Beatles. Either music-wise or power-wise, they never ever were. Pardon me, sir. Shit from those fucking sons of bitches. fucking bums. She just threw the bastards out. I can't forgive her cause she didn't treat me like a fucking genius. Look, you bastards, I'm a genius. Like Shakespeare, I'm Beethoven, I'm Van Gogh. Those who dare criticize my work, those Laurie Kyoko was one of the fucking best rock and roll records ever made. I'm a fucking artist, I'm sensitive as shit. I throw up before I go on stage. I could make a guitar speak. If I could be a fisherman, I would, but I can't because I'm a fucking genius. I was a walrus. Paul wasn't a walrus. I was just saying that to be nice, but I was actually the walrus. Even that rubbish he's been singing. Eastman was an animal. A fucking stupid middle class pig. I won't let fucking animals like that near me. Your guy's a supreme intellectual. I'll tell you why nobody likes her music. Because she's a woman and she's oriental, that's why.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, and Tootshell, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Lou Grossberger, and Tony Hendra. Lyrics to Magical Misery Tour by John Lennon, music by Chris Cerf. Visit us at thefinaledition.com regularly for daily doses of satire with teeth. Clean, bright, cavity-free, cute, Walking Dead-type teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2012.